In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There is a Sabbath rest. God made it when he brought the creation to the point that he wanted it. 6 days he labored, and on the seventh he rested, for he had finished it to where he wanted it. He did not stop working. You have been taught to confess, I believe that God made me and all creatures. Well, you certainly weren't back there in the original 6 days. At least you don't look that old to me. He continues to preserve and feed. Many of us didn't even pray for the sun to come up this morning or even give thanks. We may have said something else, but we probably didn't. Some of us didn't even give thanks, but he saw to it that it did. He made a Sabbath rest, but not everybody goes into rest. This sermon is about resting in the grace of God, the Sabbath day, and it is about keeping the Sabbath day holy. Because keeping the Sabbath day holy has to do with your work, your worship, and your play. It is not by accident that the Sabbath texts that we have today are set in the middle of the most distressful environment, slavery, and suddenly God with an outstretched arm. You must always remember the picture of the crucifix. God's outstretched arm is being described. With his outstretched arm, he of his own choice, in a most funny way, delivered Israel. Sunday school kids can believe it, but they can't imagine that the adults can believe it. That they sat there, ate a lamb, like you, in a world of violence and turmoil, kneel down here to eat bread and wine that is the body and blood. They sat there and ate a lamb. They had some blood painted on the doorpost, a kind of a kooky way to decorate your house. And they were delivered to a life in the wilderness. Insecurity, uncertainty, and they grumbled. They grumbled about the food, they grumbled about their pastures, they grumbled about the water, they grumbled about the road. That's where their life was lived. And here's where you will come to serve me on this mountain, to worship me, and you keep the Sabbath day holy. This is my command. And in Jesus, we've got disciples walking through the field, hungry, plucking grains of wheat, rubbing them in their hand, blowing the chaff away, and eating them because they were hungry. Connected with the life of work. And in Paul, we saw this light of the knowledge of the glory of God shining in our hearts. And he says, we are all a whole batch of cracked pots, earthen vessels, dying, breaking up, and going back into the ground whence we came. That's what he started us on. The baptism, he took that lump of clay that we are and shoved us back into the ground like a potter who says, that pot isn't at all the way I want it now. And he raised us up with Jesus so that our life in the grace of God, in the Sabbath of God, our life is full of perplexity and affliction. We get knocked down. But we are not in despair. We are not knocked out. We are not forsaken. While the death is at work in our body, the life of Jesus is manifesting itself. So this is about work, worship, and play. And it is about hallowing the Sabbath day. We in America have been tormented by the Sabbath question. As I told you, from the time of our Puritan ancestors, it is the question. Most people in America, if they think about Sabbath or rest or leisure and play or recreation, they think of it always in relation to a cessation from work. Sabbath then for them is something like play. On the Sabbath, you do what you want to do. Because you don't have to do it. And that's what it is to be keeping the Sabbath, to rest, to have leisure, to have some time off. There are people sleeping in bed this morning who, if I call them this afternoon, will say, Sunday's the only day I get to sleep in. That's what I'm talking about. Work and worship are linked together. For when the Sabbath is kept by religious people, they themselves make it a religious idea. Did any of you in this audience this morning ever hear this in your home? If you don't go to church in the morning, you may not go out and play ball in the afternoon. You may not go fishing. If you're too sick to worship in the morning, you're too sick to go to the show in the afternoon. It's a kind of household rule that used to function in some households. Work is necessary. It occupies a large segment in our lives. Most working people in America have the necessity of work for the wrong reason. That's why I say we worship our work. We think that we cause our income and our life by our work. We work to make a living. And that is backwards from the way God works, or the way he designed us to work. God doesn't work so he can stay alive. God does not work so he's got some meaning to his life. I'm so lonesome and so empty, I'm going to make a world with all these people, then I'm going to let them get in trouble, then I'm going to save them, and they'll all stand around and applaud me, then my life will be meaningful. That's the kind of God we make. And our worship is in our work. And so we see work as the way we find our meaning, get our satisfaction. And if you want to know torment, especially see the men, and especially the black men, who cannot find work, or who cannot get earned salary because they have no job. They assume that their whole life is nothing. It is empty. Their God has left them. And they're right in that. But work as worship is a misunderstanding of the Sabbath. For the Sabbath day is not hallowed by what we do. The Sabbath day is hallowed by what God does for us. To enter into the Sabbath rest, to keep the Sabbath day holy, is to have God doing something for you and to you. It is twisted when we worship our work. For there are some who think confession and absolution, that's a work you have to do. I don't have to do that when I'm free. Going to the Lord's Supper, that's a work you do. I don't have to do that. I'm free. Listening to the Word of God preached, I don't have to do that. I'm free. I can go out and shoot a bunny rabbit and meditate. We imagine that this work, it's our worship, is a way that we merchandise with God to get the things we want. So, if you want to be rich, take 10% off your money immediately and give it away. God will bless you. You'll get rich that way. And so the Sabbath becomes a way in which we worship with our work. We are preoccupied with the work of our own hands. But the Sabbath is a sign of God's work, not ours. God finished the creation. He made it what he wanted it. He didn't stop working. He hasn't stopped giving food. He hasn't stopped suffering in his Son. He hasn't stopped protecting us. He hasn't stopped punishing us or delivering us. The Sabbath is a sign that God, and God alone, is, first of all, the maker. You do not cause your life by your work. God causes your life by his goodness and his grace. And what you give to your work is also your life. That's where you have the place of giving it. It is the place where you make something for somebody else. A thought, a music, a bread, a report for somebody else. The work that we are engaged to do in the Sabbath is a work we are engaged to suffer. The deliverance of Israel from Egypt is the picture of God graciously, by his choice, stretching out his arm and rescuing his people from slavery and death. That was a bitter life they had. It was very secure. They knew exactly what their retirement would be. They knew exactly how long it would last. They knew what their day's chores were, and they enjoyed that security. It was very restless for them to be taken up out of slavery. So God called them out of slavery. The Sabbath day is a pointer to the redemption that only God works. He is the one who pays the price to buy back his own property for himself. The day, therefore, is to be hallowed. Hallowed to the Lord. That means that the Lord's work of giving his grace to us is to be received by us, not by doing our work, but by receiving his work. When work is worshipped, then worship becomes play. It has lost its point. We try to find reasons for worshiping. To worship, when you play at worship, is to try to find something that will entertain you, make you feel good, give your life significance. It seems that now you can really get things back together. It is not by accident that the big growing churches, the so-called mega churches, and the burgeoning Sunday schools have entertainers for their superintendents and their directors of Christian education. It's not by accident. For we play at the worship. We are going to manipulate it to get out of it what we want from it, and so we put into it what we want to get out. God says, that worship stinks. I am God, you are not. I will tell you how to worship me. First, you are to hallow the Sabbath day. You listen to what I say. So hallowing the Sabbath day is not by the work that we do for God or for somebody else. Hallowing the Sabbath day is not that we are entertained or that we are mentally able to cope because we have worship. Our life is still full of perplexity, affliction, and trouble. But what makes us new is the work that God does. Have you ever heard anybody say, I've just gotten back from vacation and I was so tired I had to rest 3 days before I could go back to work? The way we recreate ourselves, we exhaust ourselves. We are always looking for recreation. That's the point of work, so that we can retire, be secure. Then we can do what we want. Meanwhile, we have to drive ourselves day after day after day. But when we retire, it'll be fun. Kind of ironical that most men live only 6 months after the day of their retirement. Things just fall apart. So that our life as workers and as worshipers, our life is connected with the grubbiest of things, affliction, pain, death in the body, knocked around, persecuted, laughed at, taken advantage of, wandering around in the wilderness, finding ourselves grumbling too often at each other and at whatever is going on. That is where Jesus exercises his lordship. The Pharisees, you almost get the picture that they were lying in the wheat field just waiting for Jesus' disciples to go by. And as soon as they took some grain, they jumped out and said, look at that, a violator of the Sabbath. And look what kind of a teacher they got. See, originally they attacked Jesus by attacking the disciples. And that's the way they still do it in the world. I love God. It's just his church I can't stand. You ever heard people say that? Oh, I love God. But you ought to see those people in church. They attack God by attacking his people. Well, that's what they did with Jesus and the disciples. And Jesus was a shrewd preacher, a shrewd teacher. We had more meekness. If I had more meekness like that, I might learn something of his wisdom. They applauded David. And David taught Israel how to worship. He will teach you in the Psalms how to worship God. how to look forward to the real Sabbath, who is Christ. They applauded David, and Jesus said, have you never heard that David went into the temple when he was hungry and ate the bread when Abiathar was the priest, ate the bread that was only for priests? He didn't only give it to them, he gave it to all of his followers. And you know what was happening to him and his followers? They were being chased like a bunch of wild dogs all over the hills. Saul was trying to kill him. What a picture Jesus lays out to them. What about David? You love David, and you reverse everything David said. The priests were not farmers. The bread was given to them by the members of the congregation. The priests had work to do that didn't include farming. That was the bread they were to eat. It didn't come as a cause of their work. David was fed with that bread. Like we didn't cause the wheat to grow, but the disciples are fed from that wheat. And it is for the priests that God gives the bread. So the resting place of God's grace is in that one who is Lord of the Sabbath. That does not mean merely, I made the rule, I can break the rule. It means rather that he is the Lord who brings us God's grace in our restlessness. It is the death of Jesus that we carry in our bodies, for we have been baptized into him, and our life of work and play and worship in the world is our bodies being given over to death. If you work hard for 40 years, every day you will wear out. That is the holy place to offer a service in God's name to your brothers and sisters, to your world. God wants it to be holy, and that is starting with hallowing the Sabbath day. So to make the day holy is to listen to the word of the gospel about that Son of God. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. I give the Sabbath by my work and my word. You've been taught that in the catechism. Say it with me. What is the third commandment? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You can say it a little louder. I'd like to hear it. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, that we may not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. It is this way that the Lord hallows you in the Sabbath day, and in this word that you hallow the day of rest, whether it is Sunday or Monday, whether it is Wednesday or Friday, or whether it is all those days. You have the advantage of being catechized in the evangelical church. You have the advantage, many of you, of having gone to school, and even those of our dear sisters who can't read, they have the advantage of dear Joan teaching them the things by heart, so that you can carry that hallowing word all the time. Calling us to worship him, God calls us to listen. And in this high calling of God to us to listen, he teaches us how to worship. Worship is for nothing except to receive God and praise him. That's what it's for. If he makes the congregation strong or weak, or your personal life afflicted or happy, that is all part of the way death is at work. But the worship of God is to receive that holy gift. And to work is the place where that holy life is lived, whether you are retired or not retired, whether you are suffering in bed without being able to move, or whether you are very active and energetic and producing things all day long. The place where the service is rendered is the place which our bodies are. Why it is so connected with food, with life in the wilderness, with the pain and the insecurity and the affliction of our human existence. There is a Sabbath rest for the people of God. How better can you get that explained to you than in the sacraments themselves? It is there, like nowhere else on earth, that the gospel of the apostles' doctrine is pure. It is a baptism of you, nay, in the name of God. It's not just a general statement. God loves sinners. It is that he has taken you into his forgiveness. And in holy absolution, it is not merely that God forgives sins. We all know that. It is that you, in your ear, hear it said about you with the authority of Christ. And especially in the holy meal, he takes some bread and some wine, the stuff of everyday life, where our securities and insecurities, where our vanities and futilities and our meanings go on, where we have our worries and our pleasures, there. And with that, he takes his word. And with that word, he unites his body to that bread. And he says, you take it and eat it, most intimate and personal. It is put into your mouth. You eat it. It is my body, and it is for you. No greater clarity. And she who believes that word that he says has done in her what those words say. In the very same food, then, and bread and wine, in which he gives you his body and blood, he teaches you who are his priests something about your life of suffering, sacrifice, praise, and work. He teaches you something. He teaches you that the bread he gives to his priests freely is to be given away, to be given out, to be spread. It is to teach us about our work, about bread and salary and time and space. It is to teach us about the divine generosity and the divine charity. This is the freedom to worship. When I deliver you from Israel, I will give you a sign. I will bring you out here, and you will worship me on this mountain. You will remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I have commanded it. It is your holiness and freedom and life. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus for life everlasting.